Welcome to Rambam on the Line, a project of Sichas in English. Today's chapter from the Rambam's Mishnah Torah is the third chapter of Hilchos Avel, the Laws of Mourning. This chapter contains 14 halachas and continues with the various ramifications of the cases where a Kohen is prohibited from becoming impure as a result of contact with a dead body. Perek Shlishi, the third chapter, Halacha Aleph. Kol Kohen Shenitma Lameis, any Kohen who becomes impure as a result of contact with a dead body, Chutz Mishisha Meisim HaMufuroshim Bateira, aside from the six relatives who are listed in the Torah, as the Rambam mentioned previously, namely a father, mother, son, daughter, brother, or unmarried sister, or Ishto, or the wife of the Kohen, and he came impure to them, the Eidim v'Hatra, both with after witnesses, and after the witnesses have warned him, after Hatra, Hareza Loike, he gets lashed for the biblical prohibition. Shenemar, as it says, the beginning of Vayikra, the Kapitul Chafalef, L'nefesh lo yitam ba'amav, that he should not become impure to any person. Regardless of how he became impure, whether it was by directly touching the dead body or becoming an ohel, by overhanging, by his body passing over the dead body, or hanesa, that he carries the dead body even without touching it, and even though he might not be directly underneath or on top of it, since he is supporting the weight of the hanesa, and as Rambam explained in Hilchos Tumas Meis, that this also makes him impure. So regardless of how he touched it, and regardless of whether he touched the entire dead body or just something which came off of this dead body, such as a release of blood from the dead body or a kazayas from the dead body or something of the sort, regardless, he becomes impure. Shenemar, as it says in the same pasuk, l'nefesh lo yitam ba'amav, that anything of the nefesh, coming to include the blood and so on, as the Tate of Canaan explains, that he should not become impure for any of them. And we have already explained, says the Rambam, in the laws of Tumas Meis at the beginning of Sefer Tara, called Dvarim Amitami Mina Meis, Mina Tera Omi Divrayim. Anything which conveys impurity from a dead body, which by Torah law and which by rabbinic law. The Rambam apparently is qualifying here his statement that any Kohen who becomes impure gets lashed, that since some cases are only impurities by rabbinic decree, in such a case obviously he would not be lashed, since lashes are incurred only for a biblical prohibition. Over there the Rambam says, look to see which ones are rabbinic and which ones are biblical in origin, and will determine whether the Kohen gets lashed or not. Halacha Beis. And so too, if this Kohen touched the grave itself, he gets lashed. However, he is allowed to touch clothing which touched the dead body, even though he becomes impure for 7 days as a result of touching this clothing, just as what if he would touch the body himself, that since the body is an avia vesa tumah. The clothing becomes also a primary source of impurity, and through touching that clothing would be like touching a dead body in this respect, and he is impure for 7 days. However, in spite of the fact he becomes impure for 7 days, nevertheless, he is not prohibited from doing so. He is only prohibited from touching the nefesh itself, not from anything which has become impure from the nefesh. Halacha Gimel. The Kohen nichnas for oil tamish, nichnas alei hatuma, and so too, if a Kohen walks into an impure tent in which an impurity entered into previously, like he also gets lashes. Even though the impurity itself, the dead body, for example, is not found in that very same room. Ukvar biyavna, we have already explained, says the Rambam, in the fifth chapter, apparently referring here, the fifth chapter of Hilchos Tumas Meis, Kola oilim shetikonis lehem atuma, oishet tapes in the hand. Any of the tents in which impurity enters into the tent itself, or leaves the tent, when the source of impurity leaves. Over there, the Rambam explains that there are certain materials of which the tent could be made of, that the tent itself, the actual covering, becomes impure, and anyone that walks into that tent will also become impure. For example, out of a garment or out of leather or something of the sort. That's shetikonis lehem, that it enters into the tent itself even after the dead body has left. or the taste in the ham out of other materials once the dead body leaves, and the tenth, the oil no longer conveys impurity. And so too, the din of schoches va'aproid, schoches are overhangs made out of weavings of trees, and proids are overhangs made out of stone. And anyone standing under them, even though it's an overhang outside the house, although the impurity is inside of the house, one standing under his chachis aproid also becomes impure. And so too, that Rambam has explained previously, anything which conveys impurity or which interrupts, intervenes between impurity, so that if one is on the other side of his barrier, one does not become impure. And so too, ve'ezimahem din teda, ve'ezimahem midivrayim. Which of these is by Torah law and which is by rabbinic law? How called the halachas tumas meis? Everything in the laws of tumas meis is explained, which is relevant here. The shom bi'avnu she'ein goyim natamin ba'oyel. And over there, the Rambam says, we've explained that non-Jews do not convey this impurity. Therefore, the grave, lefichach kibreitzeim fa'edim, and therefore their graves are pure. Since the whole reason the grave is impure is because it is an oyel, it is an overhang over the dead body. And by a non-Jew, there is no tumat oyel, therefore the grave is also pure. And therefore, mutar l'kain l'kanes l'sham v'lidreichal kivrei sayem. It is permissible for a kain to enter there and to walk directly on the graves even. The only prohibition is that the kohen touches the non-Jew, the dead non-Jew, or should lift it. Tumas Masa. Kama Shibiyad Nashom is explained there in Hilchas Tumas Meis in the first Perek. Therefore, there is no prohibition of Tumas Ayel by a non-Jew. This, incidentally, is a disagreement among the Rishonim, and that Allah brings in Shulchan Aruch and Nochem LaHachmir that it is proper to be strict, according to the opinion which holds that there is tumas oil by a non-Jew. Halacha dalet. Kain shenichmas la'ayil ha-meis, or la'beis ha-kvoras bishgoga. A kain who entered a tent under the same roof as a dead body, or he entered into a cemetery unintentionally. And therefore, since he entered unintentionally, he would not incur malchus, would not get lashed, as he normally would should he have gone in intentionally. However, and after he knew about it, you warned him and told him that he is now in a place he is not allowed to be, and that you were going to testify against him, as is normally the requirement for lashes, that one must have edus and hatzrah. He must be warned, and there must be two witnesses. So at the beginning, when he first entered, he was v'shegeg. He was unintentional. But now, if he remains there, he is intentionally staying there. Therefore, in kofet v'yasa potet. If he jumps and leaves immediately, then he is exempt. He does not get lashed. However, v'im yoshav sham kadesh tachavoya. If he remained there for a long enough time period to bow down, which is explained in k'moshe b'yavno be'inyan tumas mikdash, as explained in Hilchas Bias the Mikdash Perek Gimel, that as long as it takes to say the pasuk v'yichru apayim arza, and so on from divrei hayomim beis. Perek Zayin, the Pasuk Gimel, as long as it takes to read that Pasuk, is called Kadei Yishtachavoya, as long as it takes to bend down. If he remains in the cemetery for that time period, Harei Zaleika, then he does get lashes, even though he entered unintentionally. And although in general the principle is that one does not get lashed on a lav she'ein by ma'isa, if one transgresses a prohibition merely by not doing something, one cannot get lashed. And it would seem here that the kohen is in the same situation. He is doing the prohibition by not leaving. So how could one lash him? It's a lav she'ein by ma'isa. The commentaries explain that since it is so easy and he could immediately get away from this impurity, it is as if he is himself is directly causing the impurity with his hands. And therefore, he would be incurring the penalty of malchus. Let's say nichnas v'yotza v'chazer v'nichnas v'yotza. He entered and then left, and then a second time went in and left. In other words, he did it several times. Im hisru b'yakol pam u'pam leike akol p'nisu p'nisa. If he was warned every single time before he entered, then he gets lashed for every single entrance. Each one is a separate prohibition of tumah. The kaini noga b'meis, the yisra b'opirish, and so too, if he touched a dead body, and then you warned him, and he separated himself, he didn't touch anymore, the chazer b'noga, and then he touched again, the yisra b'ay, and you also warned him, afilu mei upon him, even 100 times, leika, alkol, achas, achas. he gets laughs on every single time he touched, should he have been warned not to do so in between. Let's say Haye Nageyev, a late Pidesh, let's say he was touching, and after being warned, he kept touching. Or he was standing in a cemetery and at the same time is touching other dead bodies. In other words, there are several prohibitions seemingly going on at the same time. For one, he is staying there for a long period of time, for many shiurim of today shtachavoya. Or he is touching dead bodies and is also in the cemetery at the same time. In such a case, however, Apol Pisha, he should have come upon him, although he has been warned many times, Eino Leika Ela Achas, he has only last once. Because he is already defiled as long as he is still standing there and he is not separated from the source of impurity. Therefore, it is all considered all part of the first prohibition since he has never separated from the source of impurity. Halacha hei. Hamatame es akayim, someone who causes the kohen to become impure. If both of them did so intentionally, harayakayim like the kohen gets lashed. The zeshetim le'eber avolitne ibro esipin mechshol, and the one that made him impure transgresses on the prohibition of not to place a stumbling block before the blind. And since he participated, actually caused this kohen to become impure, he is transgressing this prohibition of litne ibro. Hoya kohen shegeg the zeshetim amazed. Let's say the kohen was unintentional, and the one that made him impure was intentional. Let's say, for example, that the person, the non-kohen, knew that he himself was impure, and he touches the kohen intentionally to make him impure, but the kohen knew nothing about it. The one that caused him to become impure gets lashed. In the case where they both transgress intentionally, the law is, as the Rambam said, that the kohen gets lashed, but the other person does not. The Rambam does not mention he gets lashed at the beginning of the halacha. He only transgresses listening either, the Rambam says. And as the Radbaz explains, that one does not get lashes for such a general prohibition as listening either. However, if the kohen was unintentional, and the one that made him impure was intentional, then he gets lashed. As the Radbaz explains, that the prohibition, lo yitamah, could be read as to say that the kohen himself should not become impure, and it could also be translated or read that one should not render the kohen impure. Since it contains both readings, there are certain times where it is read that one shall not make somebody else impure, and other times it's read one shall not make himself impure. So when does this apply? If the kohen himself was himself an intentional, he was the mazid, then we read it that the kohen himself is the one that shall not become impure, and therefore the one that rendered him impure does not get lashed. However, if the kohen was shegeg, we cannot apply the pasuk to him. Therefore, the pasuk will apply to the one that rendered him impure, and he will get lashed. Halacha vav. Up till now, we have been speaking about a regular kohen. This halacha speaks about the kohen gadol. Kohen gadol einam matame lekrevim. The high priest, the kohen gadol, cannot become impure even for his close relatives. Shenamar, as it says, and also in Vayikra, the Chafal, if you're the Aleph, le'yaviv u'le'ima le'yitama, that even for his father and mother, he shall not become impure. Furthermore, there's another distinction between the kohen gadol and a regular kohen. For the regular kohen, there's only one prohibition, whereas for the kohen gadol, there are two. The kohen einam nichnas im hameis ba'ayel, so too, he cannot enter with a dead person into the ayel, into a tent, a filu krevav, even if it's his relative. Shenamar, as it says, v'akol nafshis meis le'yaveh, to any dead person he shall not enter, he shall not come in. Holamazatah, this comes to teach you, shu'chayev b'le'yaveh, v'chayev b'le'yitamah, that he is transgressing le'yaveh, not to enter, and also transgressing the prohibition of becoming impure. Cain said, how can this be? The problem the Rambam is referring to over here is a problem of ein isur chalal isur. Once someone has transgressed a prohibition, he does not get blamed for a second prohibition just like the first. Therefore, it would seem to be that a person could never really get lashed for both of these prohibitions together, because the law is that if somebody walks into an oihel where there is a dead body, as soon as part of the body, as soon as the nose or even the toes enter into the oihel, the person becomes impure, even a little bit of the body. However, the prohibition le'yaveh is only transgressed when the entire body has entered the oil. So therefore, the prohibition le'yitamo would be transgressed immediately as soon as a little bit of the body enters the oil. And thereafter, Enos and Chal is, and he would not get lashed for the second prohibition of Yovel because he is already getting lashed from the first. So how could it be possible that he could get lashed for both? Kesach, no Gali and Nosa, so Rambam explains both sides. No Gali and Nosa, if he touched the dead body or carried it, like Achas, he gets lashed only once for the Leitama, since he did not have anything to do with the tent whatsoever. Nichmas lo'oil, the Yoshav Shom Acha Mesa Lava Mes. Let's say, however, he entered the tent when the person was still alive, and he remained there until the person died. So at that time, his Leitama and Leyove happened at the same time. He entered, entering into the tent doesn't mean that he has to walk into the tent. It means that he is under the tent. And he is under the tent and getting impure at the same time. Or he went into a chest or a box or some other totally enclosed object, in which case the impurity around him will not affect him. However, and along came someone else and opened up, exposed the roof of this chest, the roof of the box, and in that case he will now become impure. The impurity and the prohibition both came at the same time. Because both being under the tent and also becoming impure happen simultaneously. Then he will get two sets of lashes. He will get lashed for both. In Allah Adal, the Rambam mentioned that even for the exact same prohibition, and even with the same body, the person could be lashed many times, if he separated from the body in between and was warned in between. However, this is no contradiction to Allah Chavav, because since this is all one act, and he has not been Kodesh, not separated himself from the original impurity before the second impurity of Ayo comes into play, therefore he would only be lashed once. Halach HaZayin, Nisma Mikaydim, if he already was impure originally, he had already touched the dead body or something of the sort. V'achakach Nichnas Lo'ayo, and later on he entered into a tent. So in that case, him Hisru B'Leika Afalatbiya, should he have been warned, he will be lashed also for the entrance into the tent. And the reason is, since he was already Kodesh, he already separated from the original Tumah. Therefore, it's just like in Allah Adalit, that he was lashed for the same act, should he have been Kodesh in between. So too, over here, between his original becoming impure and the present becoming impure, he was already Kodesh in between, and therefore gets lashed for both. Halacha Ches. Kayim Shapoga B'meis Mitzvah B'Derech. A Kayim who encountered what's called a Meis Mitzvah on the road. What is a Meis Mitzvah? The Rambam will soon explain it's someone that has no one to take care of his burial. So the Kayin met someone who has no one to bury him. For this person, the Kayin is allowed to become impure. And a feeble Kayin Gogol, Chayiv Li Tamalei Ula Kodre. Even a Kayin Gogol, not only he's allowed, but he is required to become impure for this person, for this dead body, and to bury it. Veizel Meis Mitzvah, when is a person considered a Meis Mitzvah? A Jewish person who was thrown into the road and he has no one to bury him. There is no one to take care. And this matter, this law that a Kohen and even a Kohen Gadol can bury a Meis Mitzvah is something which is passed down by the oral tradition from Har Sinai. Without a Rem is in the Torah, in the Chumash. However, when does this apply that the Kain is allowed and commanded, in fact, to bury him? When the Kain was alone and there was nobody with him. And even after he gave a call to other people to see if there's anyone else in the road, then there's nobody answering him. However, if when he calls to other people, they answer him, ain't the Meis Mitzvah. Then he is not considered a Meis Mitzvah. Rather, he should call to the other people who should come in and occupy themselves in his burial. They should rather bury him instead of the Kohen. Although the Kohen is allowed, it is only something which is the Chuya, it is pushed aside, and is not Hutra. Halacha Tes. Hoya Kohen v'Nozer Mahalchem v'Derech U'Pogo B'Meis Mitzvah. If a Kohen and a Nazarite was also prohibited as a result of his Nazarite vow not to become impure to a dead body. And both of them were walking in the path, and they met a Meis Mitzvah. Yisasek by Hanazir, the Nazir should bury him. Because his holiness, that he is not allowed to become impure for a dead body, is not an everlasting one. As soon as his Nazirite period has passed, then he is allowed once again to become impure for the for the dead body. And the Kohen cannot become impure, even though he might be a regular Kohen, not a Kohen Gadol, because his holiness lasts forever. If it was a Kohen Gadol and a regular Kohen walking, then the Kohen Hedyet should rather impurify himself rather than the Kohen Gadol. And whoever is higher than the other one in terms of his status as a Kohen goes later in terms of becoming impure. As the Rambam lists in the fourth chapter of Hilchot Klei HaMikdash, eight different levels of Kohenim. The Kohen Gadol, who has the Meshicha, and the Merubah Begadim, and so on. Eight different levels of Kohenim. Whoever is the lowest on that list should go first. And the highest, the Kohen Gadol, who has Meshicha, with the Shemen HaMishcha, he is the one that goes last. Was gan in Meshuach Melchama Shapago b'meis Mitzvah, as the gan Kain, who was second in command to the Kain Gadol, who was walking together with the Kain who was Meshuach Melchama, who was specially anointed to lead and guide the Jewish people in war, and both of them were walking together and encountered a meis Mitzvah. Yitam and Meshuach Melchama v'al Yitam ha'sgan. The Meshuach Melchama should become impure for him, and the Sgan should not become impure. But since the Sgan, the second in command to the Kohen Gadol, has a higher status, since he is allowed to serve on Yom Kippur should something happen to the Kohen Gadol, whereas the Meshuach Muhammad cannot. Therefore, he is higher in Maila, and therefore does not become impure if there is a Meshuach Muhammad present. Halacha Yud. Nasi Shameis, a Nasi, the head of the Sanhedrin, who died, Hakol Metamin Le'afilu Kainim. Everyone can become impure to him, even the Kainim. Why? Because Asu Kameis Mitzvah Lakeil Mitnei Shakeil Chayavim Bechvedei. That he is considered like a Meis Mitzvah for everyone, since everyone is required to give him honor. That since every individual is required to give him honor, then every individual has a personal responsibility to take care. It's as if he's a Meis Mitzvah, there is no one else that can do this, since every individual is required to give cover to the Nasi. Therefore, even the Kohen become impure. And so too, everyone is considered an Einim, that on the day that he dies, until the burial, there are certain laws of Aninus, as the Rambam will explain in the next Perek, and everyone must observe these laws, even should they not be directly related to the Nasi. There are various stories told about this in the Gemara, Talmud Yerushalmi, in Nozir, and also in Talmud Bavli in Ksubas, that on that day that Rebbe died, Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, that on that day the Kohenim did not observe the laws of Tuma as far as his burial was concerned, since they were considered a Meis Mitzvah, they all considered him a Meis Mitzvah as far as they were concerned. This obviously, however, applies only at the time of burial, as explained in many tshuvas and many poskim later on. Only at the time of burial do have this, and therefore there are still the various practices related to Tumentara later on. Halacha Yud Aleph. B'neis Aren lo yuhuzru al tumas meis. The daughters of Aren were not warned, are not prohibited to become impure for a dead body. Shenemar, it says in the same parasha, Emar al hakeinim b'nei Aren. Speak to the kainim, the sons of Aren, b'lo b'neis Aren. It doesn't say the daughters of Aren, it says explicitly b'nei Aren. And therefore the daughters of Kainim are excluded from this prohibition. The Kaina Halolim Mutarin Litame. And so too the Halolim are allowed to become Tame. Shanamar Bnei Aren Ashiyu Mikihunam. As this Pasuk says, the sons of Aren, meaning that they should be fully considered to be Kainim. What is the law of a Halol? A Halol is someone that was born when his father was a Kain, and his father married someone that is prohibited for a Kain to marry. For example, a Kain that married a divorced woman, a Grusha, the child is called a Halol, and the child is not fully considered a Kain as far as many laws are concerned. And so too for this law over here of Tuma, he is not considered a Kain as far as this is concerned, and he has no such prohibition. Halacha Yud Beis. Kain Katan Hare Agdeilum Muzharim Shelo Yitamu. A Kain who was a child, adults are warned, are prohibited not to render him impure. As even Rashi mentions at the beginning of Pasha Temor in his commentary on the Chumash, that La'azir Agbeilim Al-Aktanim, that we find over here a commandment where the adults are warned and to protect the children that they should not become impure. If, however, he himself comes to render himself impure. He himself, not that he is taken into the cemetery, for example, but he himself runs into the cemetery. In such a case, ein bezdin metzuvim olav lahafrishay. The bezdin, the court, is not commanded to drag him away from this prohibition. His father, however, is required to educate him as far as his kedusha, as far as his holiness is concerned, that he is prohibited from becoming impure. Halacha Yud Gimel. Meis teifas arba ames shalei latuma. A dead body also includes the four ames, approximately 6 feet in any direction surrounding it, that it should also be considered part of the impurity. There are sages decreed that the four amas surrounding it should also be considered tameh, in order that people should not come too close, and later on eat tareh, thinking that they were still not overhanging the grave, and nevertheless, they mistakenly went over the grave a little bit, and were impure unwittingly. Therefore, the sages decreed that anyone that comes within four amas should become impure. And a Kohen that comes within four amas of a grave gets lashed by rabbinic decree, since it's a rabbinic prohibition. And so too, if he entered into a beis hapras, which is a field, which has had a grave lost somewhere that has been plowed up, and we worry that perhaps some of the bones are still in existence there in the field, and therefore there's a rabbinic prohibition, a rabbinic tumah on the entire field. So a Kohen that entered this Beis HaPras, a Yotza Chutz La'aretz, so he went outside Eretz Yisrael, which as the Rambam explained in the 11th chapter, Hilchos Tumas made, that our sages decreed on the ground, on the earth outside Eretz Yisrael, and even on the air outside Eretz Yisrael, that it should convey Tumah by rabbinic decree. So a Kohen that entered a Beis HaPras and went outside Eretz Yisrael, or he should meet them with Dam Tzivusa, or he became impure by Dam Tzivusa, which is also conveys Tumah by rabbinic decree. It has a mixture of blood which flowed out of the person when he was still alive, which came out of after death. And since they are mixed together, it is only prohibited by rabbinic decree. Or he touched the galil, which is a large stone which is used to cover up the top of the grave. Or the defek, the two large stones on the side which support the galil, which, as Rambam explained earlier, also one may not touch them by rabbinic decree, or one becomes tummy. A Kohen that did any of these things, makim eisem makas mardes, he gets lashed by rabbinic decree, if neshahim aves shal divrayim, kamo shabiyanu me'ilchas tumas neis, because they are considered aves, an avatuma, a source of impurity by rabbinic decree, as explained in ilchas tumas neis. If, however, he enters a graveyard itself, he gets lashed by the Torah law. He gets regular lashes, since certainly he walked over a grave. Incidentally, we have a machlokes among the poskim that should there be a cemetery where the Kohen could walk down a path, and in the path itself there are no trees overhanging him, both him and the grave, and there are no graves underneath the place, the pathway where he is walking, and he is at least four amas from the nearest grave, there is a machlokes haposkim whether he is allowed to walk into such a cemetery. Being that he is not within four amas, should he be allowed, or did the decree include such a thing also, such a circumstance, since it is anyway in a beis hakvodos. Now the final halach of the perek, halach yuddalit. In this halacha, the Rambam discusses various cases in which sages did away with these rabbinic prohibitions, that in spite of the fact that there is a rabbinic tumah, nevertheless the Kohen is allowed to enter. Mutter l'kayin litamed b'beis hapras ei b'chutz l'oretz l'dvar mitzvah. Bezman she'ein sham derech elehi. A Kohen is allowed to become impure by entering a beis hapras, the field where a grave was lost, or to go outside Eretz Yisrael, should it involve a mitzvah, and there is no other way to get there. What is considered a mitzvah? Kogein shaholach lisa isha, that he went outside Israel, or he had to go across a beis hapras, in order to find himself a wife, or in order to learn teda. And even if he has a teacher in Eretz Yisrael, so what does he really have to leave for? Does he really have to go? and not from every person do you have the merit to live. In other words, it could be that he has a teacher in Eretz Yisrael, but he does not have the schus that he'll be able to learn properly from this person. Perhaps he has to go somewhere else in order to learn properly. Therefore, it's also considered a Dvar Mitzvah, and he is allowed to go. And so too, a Kohen is allowed to become impure, one of these rabbinic impurities, for the sake of Kovod HaBriyas, in order to give honor to other human beings. Case time, for example. Let's say that there is a mourner who is walking in the Beis HaPras. Everyone should walk after him there in order to comfort him. Even the Kohen, who normally is not allowed in the Beis HaPras, should accompany him because Kovod HaBriyas is pushed aside for a rabbinic form of Tumah. The Kohen Medalgin Al-Gabi Ar-Reinish Al-Masin Likras Malchi Yisrael. And so too, one is allowed to walk over the top of caskets of different containing bodies in order to greet a Jewish king. Now although one is walking directly over the dead body, the law is that should there be a tefach chaytet, that there is at least one hand breadth of empty air between the dead body and the top of the partition, which is normally the case and is still intact casket, in such a case it is only prohibited by rabbinic decree to walk on top. There is no tumas ayo by Torah law, since there is a one tefach intervening between the dead body and the top of the box. In the case of the where one is going to greet the Jewish king, one a kohen is allowed to walk on top of the arena, on top of these arenas, should there be no other way to get there. And furthermore, v'afilu malchi goyim, even to greet goyish kings, non-Jewish kings, what could be considered a mitzvah in greeting a non-Jewish king? The Gemara explains today, la'avchim beinam lebein malchi Yisrael kishayachzer kavedim l'mkeinam, in order that we should be able to distinguish between the covet, the honor and glory given to the Jewish kings compared to that which is given to the Goyish kings, once the Jewish kings come back into the forefront and they are returned to their proper place as the heads of the Jewish people and heads of the world. Then by seeing what the Malki Goyim were able to elicit from their followers, one will be able to better understand the tremendous respect and honor given to the Jewish kings. And this is also considered a mitzvah. The king called Kiyetzi was that so too in a similar case. And so too, one is allowed to become impure in a rabbinic impurity in order to go to judgment with the non-Jews and to bring one's claims against them in non-Jewish court. Because this is considered like saving something which they have stolen. That since this is the only way of getting it back, this is also considered a mitzvah to regain one's lost funds. The Kain Kol Kiyetzi possess so too any similar case. Thank you for tuning in to Rambam on the Law, the Project of Sichos in English. For more information or to sponsor one of the program, contact Sichos in English at area code 718-778-5436. That's 718-778-5436. And please join us tomorrow for Pedigree VE.